Washington, Monday, June 22nd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbas. In this edition, all about Iran. We'll spend the hour focusing on the ongoing uprisings and movement towards democracy in one of the most repressive nations in the world. We'll speak with two members of Congress and one of the leading authorities on the actual intents and methods of the current Iranian regime. And we'll learn more about the man at the top of the power structure, at least for now, in Iran. We'll start off with a discussion with Iowa Congressman Steve King. He says the Obama administration and the U.S. government in general need to be much more vocal and send a much stronger message, a la Ronald Reagan in the Cold War, and make sure the people in the streets of Tehran know that we are strongly in support of them. Also in this edition, we'll speak with Texas Congressman Ron Paul. He's the only member of Congress who last week voted against a resolution declaring solidarity with the demonstrators in Iran. He says we need a total hands-off approach because the last thing we need is the Iranian government using us as the excuse for beating back these protesters. Plus, Alireza Jafarzadeh, the man who first warned the Western world about Iran's latest attempt at acquiring nuclear weapons, joins us from Paris and explains why he believes this is the beginning of a legitimate revolution that will conclude with the toppling of the current regime. And who is Iran's supreme leader? We all know about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, but the cleric really calling the shots is the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. We'll get a profile courtesy of Newsweek's Michael Hirsch. All that, plus our top news, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Iowa Congressman Steve King, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Iowa Congressman Steve King, a Republican representing the Hawkeye State. He's also a member of the House Judiciary and Small Business Committees. We want to get his thoughts today, though, on the situation in Iran as protesters continue to take to the streets and the government continues to brutally repress those demonstrations. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Obviously, what we're seeing out of Iran and the images that are able to get out is very disturbing, but it's basically exactly what the Supreme Leader promised would happen during his address on Friday, that no more demonstrations would be tolerated. The repression is getting increasingly intensified. Now we're hearing about live bullets and other methods of reducing these demonstrations. What is your reaction as you see this this crisis play out?
Well, it's kind of the brutality that I was hoping that President Obama would speak out against to help preempt the brutality that we are seeing. I am, however, encouraged by what I've seen the Iranian people do. And that is something that should lift all of our spirits. Now, they're facing great danger today, and they've lost some people, and that who knows how many more it might take. But if they will come to the streets and stay in the streets, they could take their country back. And I look back on a couple of waves that happened 20 years ago. One was just a little bit before this time, June 1st in Tiananmen Square. There, the brutality of the Red Chinese crushed the freedom movement. And a few months later, though, the wall went down in Berlin, which was the Iron Curtain crashing down. And freedom echoed all the way across Eastern Europe just 20 years ago this year. So I'm hopeful that this can happen in Iran.
Congressman, you mentioned the later stages of the Cold War. Later in this program, we'll be playing an interview I did a little while ago with Congressman Ron Paul. As you know, he's the one member of the House that voted against the resolution expressing solidarity among members of Congress with the people demonstrating and working for freedom in Iran. He says he believes the United States' public pronouncement of support for the solidarity movement in Poland, as well as other pro-democracy movements behind the Iron Curtain, get too much credit, and they really weren't that big of a deal and really that big of an influence in bringing down the Iron Curtain. What's your reaction?
Well, the wall came down and the Iron Curtain crashed with it. There are reasons for it. And I happen to have been sitting in Moscow last February and heard Gorbachev say directly to a small group of us that America had nothing to do with it, that he could still be heading up the Soviet Union and held it all together, but he decided to go along with it because the Germans were committed to reunification, which seems to be a little bit of a surprise to the Germans to hear him say that. So I will say that everybody's got a way they will look at history, but I am convinced that Ronald Reagan standing at the Brandenburg Gate saying, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," helped. And I believe that Pope John Paul II, when he spoke up for freedom, I believe that helped and made a difference, and we need to give inspiration to free people wherever we can, and this is a place where we need to, as in Iran today.
Congressman, what else would you like to see from President Obama? His most recent statement basically says that he wants the Iranian government to treat its people well and not kill them and harm them, but What do you believe he needs to be saying right now?
Well, I would just take a page right out of Ronald Reagan's book. I wish he would have done it more than a week ago. And that is that, and Mike Pence started this out very well when he said Ronald Reagan didn't say what goes on the other side of this gate is none of our business. He said tear down this wall. And I think that President Obama needs to say to Ahmadinejad and the mullahs to let your people go. And then we need to make sure that we are alert strategically all around the region. We need to re-solidify our commitments to the Iraqis so that they know that they are partners with us on that border and that security. We do have, a strong military presence in Afghanistan. And so when you look at the map of the world and you realize that on the east, Afghanistan today is free, even though they have their problems, and we may be there a long time. Iraq is also free, and they have their problems, and we aren't going to be there as long as Afghanistan the way it looks, but Iran is the central piece now in the global jigsaw puzzle that links together the Bush doctrine. When George Bush said that everyone has a right to be free, and freedom burns in the heart of every man, he was talking about those three countries, and Iraq and Afghanistan are there. That happened all under the Bush years, and yes, everybody has a long ways to go, but they are directing their own destiny. If Iran can rise up and take control of their own country, elect their own leaders, and control their own national destiny, be a free people, it goes a long, long ways towards eradicating the habitat that breeds terrorists.
What message is received by people demonstrating in Iran if we were to make a stronger statement, something Reagan-esque from the Cold War era, and what message, on the contrary, does it send when we don't send a strong message in support of them?
I think speaking to the message on the contrary of lacking a strong message, I think that brings about doubt within the Iranian people. And they need to have confidence that the free world stands with them. And so the more silent the White House remains, or the briefer the president remains in his remarks, the less vigor we'll see in the part of the Iranians. Although I am sensitive to the idea that the White House has stated that their restraint is because they don't want to send a message that the United States is orchestrating anything. I think that question is clearly answered by now, and we can raise our voices in full-throated support of the freedom-loving people in Iran.
Congressman, obviously none of us know how this is going to play out exactly, but from what you've seen so far, what do you suspect we might be looking at in a matter of days or weeks?
I wish I knew. I just don't know how it's going to play out, and I don't know if anyone has enough intel coming out of Iran to make a real educated guess, although that's the best any of us can do. And it depends on the fervor with which they come to the streets and stand up for their freedom. And this is a movement that has, until the last 24 hours or so, gotten stronger. I'm encouraged by that. It may still be getting stronger, and we just don't know, because there's delayed news coming out of Iran. If they get stronger, and if they keep pouring into the streets, and if they can bottle up traffic and bottle up commerce and essentially freeze up the function of Iran, insisting that they take control of their own government, I think then there's a chance that they can be a free people. I don't see that there is a military intervention on our part by any means. And if someone has another strategy for that, I have not heard it, but of course I'd look. And this is really not a time for us to either raise the issue to any significant degree about what might be done about Iran's quest for military nuclear capability. This is the time when the people in the streets need to rule in Iran, and we need to just give them all the encouragement we can. And to the extent that we can provide some resources that could flow in there to help them out, I'm hopeful that we have some avenues to do that, although I'm not convinced that we have the conviction to do that out of the White House.
Congressman, you mentioned the nuclear issue and the threat that poses as the Iranian nuclear weapons program advances. Some have said, and I believe this is probably part of the Obama administration's calculation as well, is that if, in fact, this uprising fails and there aren't market reforms and this regime stays in power, if the United States were to go in full-throated support of these demonstrators, it would considerably weaken any leverage, if we have any at all anyway, in trying to get their nuclear program either stalled or dismantled. How would you react to that?
I would just say simply, I've been saying for 6 or 7 years, to the ambassadors to the United States from Germany, France, and Great Britain, as they came over and asked us to join in opening up a dialogue with Iran, that it really doesn't have you are going to talk the Iranians out of their nuclear endeavor. That's dialogue has only enough value to clear up any miscommunications that we have. I don't think we had miscommunications. Iran, under its current leadership, is determined to develop a nuclear capability, and no amount of talk is going to talk them out of it. That's myopic belief on the part of the left. You have to have some kind of leverage, and if you're ready to go down that path, you should draw the conclusions before you begin on where you will start the sanctions, where you might start a blockade, where you might draw a line in the sand should it go beyond that. And otherwise, they will not take us seriously. And if they don't take us seriously, of course, no amount of talk has any effect.
Last 90 seconds here, Congressman. Tell our listeners a little bit more about the resolution that passed with only one objection in the House in support of these demonstrators. And what else, if anything, is the Congress prepared to do on this issue?
Well, the resolution, I just want to credit the people that drafted it and put it together. I certainly was supportive from the beginning instant. But Mike Pence was a significant player in this, and I know that he reached across the aisle and coordinated with the Senate as well. So I give them the credit. But the resolution is designed to offer the inspiration to the Iranian people that the president wasn't offering. And I think it's very instructive to see that all the Democrats voted in favor of it in the House. And I didn't look at the numbers in the Senate. I presume it was close to the same. It was, and I wouldn't characterize it as a repudiation of the foreign policy of the White House, but it was a strong comment that the United States of America, speaking through the United States Congress, is going to stand up and be supportive of people who yearn to be free and are willing to demonstrate that. And then next steps, we'll have to see how things unfold. But I'm hopeful that the White House steps up to this again and works with the other voices across the world, particularly Western Europe. They have been more vocal and aggressive in their response than the White House has. I think it might look like Obama's playing catch-up, but he's got to get in this game.
Congressman, unfortunately, we'll have to call time there. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Iowa Congressman Steve King, this is Dateline Washington.